Such an awesome privilege to be in the presence of God, to just sense His love enveloping us and surrounding us, and His power touching us and ministering to us. Let's never take these things for granted. Let's recognize the cost that God bore so that we could enjoy what we've enjoyed. It's just a taste of what's to come, because Christ will return. And we will be with Him, never to be separated again. Hallelujah. I wanted to continue with our thoughts on a visionary view, and I, on Sunday evenings, have said that I wanted to sort of start a sub-series, which I've already started, called Perceptive People, looking at the life of Peter. And last time we looked together at this particular subject, Peter had come to faith. He'd seen this miraculous provision of fish, call of God upon his life. Peter coming and repenting and asking for forgiveness. And then Jesus speaking to him and saying, I've got a destiny for you. I've got a plan for you. And I have called my talk this evening, Lessons for Life. And we're picking up again in Mark chapter 1. And I just want to draw some facts and some truths out of what we discover in this chapter. It's true to say that actions speak louder than words. And that we need to recognize that no matter what we might say, our lives need to demonstrate that which we are expressing through our lips. So therefore, if we say that we are committed to worship and to an expression of our love and praise to Jesus, then we need to be those who are worshippers. And we need to demonstrate that's our passion. If we're those who say that we are committed and called to sharing the good news of Jesus and winning people to Christ, then we need to be those who are doing just that. If we are those who believe in the value and the need for prayer, and say that that is part of the passion and the belief that that's what the church should engage in, then we need to be the individual who sets the example and demonstrates that. And the reason I say all of that is because as part of the lessons for life, we see that Peter, having come to faith, now begins that journey of faith with Jesus. And it's not so much at this point in time what Jesus says that counts, but what Peter sees that counts. And here is Jesus beginning to live a life demonstrating what it means to be someone committed to following him. And I want to allow ourselves to, for a moment, join Peter in these lifelong lessons. We find that very quickly after Peter has come to faith, then Jesus takes him to church. And they go to church together. Church is absolutely vital in our walk of faith. Yet church in itself does nothing for us unless church carries an anointing and the presence of God. Church in itself can be just an institution where people gather. But what Jesus was to demonstrate was that church was to be a place of encounter and of engagement with God himself. See, they go to church, and Jesus takes responsibility for sharing the message. And the reaction to Jesus preaching and sharing the message of God was, we have never heard anything like this. Here is someone who is speaking with authority. Someone who is not just sharing certain facts, but someone who has a real understanding of the heart of God and is demonstrating that understanding and sharing the reality of that with us in the message that is being received. See, Jesus said that one of the lifelong lessons that we have to understand is that we need to both listen to and partake in inspirational teaching. Where we come into the presence of God and where we don't simply just share facts alone, but where we share something of the very revelation and the heart of God. Well, we understand that we are spirit-filled, spirit-accepting, spirit-hearing people. Where there is that awareness that we come and enter into church in order that we might have and know the reality of God having spoken to us. And I'm fully aware that in any message, that with all the words that are spoken, the vast majority of what is said will not be retained. But I believe for those of us who are called to share the message of truth, that we need to be those who are so in touch with the mind of the Spirit and the heart of the Spirit that somewhere contained within all the words that we use, there are aspects of it which will be taken by the Holy Spirit and applied to individual lives. See, my heart for tonight is not simply that you go home and you say, I've listened to a message from David. My heart is that you go home and you say, I've heard a word from God. Yeah. And there is an enormous difference between a message from David and a word from God. A message from David simply, no matter how well presented it is simply that. And it won't touch us, it won't engage us, it won't grip us, it won't hold us, it won't transform us. But a message from God makes all the difference. And so I do want to say, in the new season that we're entering, to all those who are going to be participating in sharing God's word, make sure you're not just sharing facts, but you're sharing the very heart of God. Make sure you come and that the message that you bring has gripped your life. And it's made a difference to you personally as you've waited upon it and as you've listened to what the Spirit has to say to the church. Because ultimately, those of us who share the word of God will be accountable to God as to how we shared it. And I sense a weight upon my own life in the recognition over all the years that I've been involved in seeking to share the message of the Word of God. There have been times when I have felt that I've been in tune and in touch with what God has said, and there's been other times when I suspect it's just been a pleasant message that simply come from me. Now I can say that God is able even to take hold of that. After all, Balaam discovered that a donkey could talk to him. And so, you know, I'm aware that there is that sense in which God can take hold of anything. But we are called to be those who carry the authority of heaven when we share a message with those who we are gathering with. And that's what Peter began to understand as he looked and as he listened to Jesus speaking and as he heard the response and the reaction to the congregation. This is authoritative. This word has power. This has something like we've never ever experienced or heard before. I suspect that the religious leaders and teachers of that day were not too happy when they heard such a response. But you see, their words did not carry the weight of heaven. Their words very often were their views and their opinions, and certainly they very often said one thing and lived something very differently. And so for those of us who are engaged in passing on a message, let's ensure that the message we pass on is demonstrated by the way we live. And whatever we are passionate about, and whatever it is that grips our life, and we will all have in one sense different aspects of what God is emphasizing in us. And as I met with leaders today in the church in Ipswich and was sharing with them about their passions, there was one there who clearly had a real heart for outreach and evangelism. And you know, in one sense, that was his passion. And I was saying to him, well, you know, if that's your passion, then you need to recognize that that's a responsibility God has placed on you. And yes, as you do that, others will come alongside you and will work with you to see that fulfilled as you reach out to communities around. For others, there was someone who was so pastoral, concerned about every individual that was within that church. And for them, it was an emphasis and importance that everyone felt valued and cared for. We've got a whole load of people who are refugees that have been put up in a hotel at the moment. They're getting a taxi to bring them into church. Many of them can't even speak the English language very well. You see, a couple of these refugees came up to me afterwards. One of them could only speak very little English, and the other one could hardly speak anything at all. And all they could really say to me was, they said, "We really felt positive vibes coming from you." And I simply said, "That's God touching your life. That is God speaking to you and revealing himself to you." Bearing in mind, they have come from a country that is dominated by Islam. They would never have known how that there is a relationship we can have with God, and that the word and the message that is brought is not just simply teaching facts, but it's bringing a revelation of the heart of God. So Jesus, by his lifestyle, says inspirational teaching is part of what I want my church to look like. The second thing you see is that if you've got inspirational teaching, it will bring you into a place where you see invincible authority. Because suddenly, in the midst of this teaching session that's going on in church, there is a manifestation of the work of the enemy. And suddenly, here is Jesus confronted with the demonic. There's no panic. There's no, "Oh, what should I do now?" See, Jesus understood that he carried authority that could speak into the very life of the supernatural demonic powers and could cause them to come into subjection to his word and to the authority that he carried, given to him by heaven. And so we're told in Mark 1 that Jesus simply spoke to this demonic spirit, told it to be quiet, and that then set the man that was held by this power free. That is the authority the church needs to recognize it carries. See, we're told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And therefore, you and I are engaged in spiritual warfare. You and I are engaged in a recognition that there is an enemy that seeks to bring people into captivity, but we have been given the message of life, and we've also been given the authority for liberty to come. Jesus declared himself that the manifesto of his kingdom was, "I've come to set the captive free." And so that is something that we need to understand. And as Peter looked at Jesus, Peter suddenly saw this lifelong lesson. Jesus carries authority that even the supernatural demonic powers are subject to him and have to obey his command. And it was something that was to live with him. And so in the early church, it's no surprise to see that part of the ministry of the early church was seeing people held in bondage being set free and liberated from the powers of darkness. You and I carry authority It's not rooted in our human authority, it's rooted in heavenly authority. It's rooted in the recognition that Jesus has said, you carry my presence and you carry the authority of my word. And when you speak the name of Jesus, then something will happen. Which is why I love that new song, I Speak the Name of Jesus. Because that song speaks about the authority that we carry, so that when we speak the name of Jesus over communities, over families, over situations where darkness holds reign, we speak it in the knowledge that there is a power that can break and destroy all that seeks to array itself against the invincible authority of Jesus himself. And then we go on to see the importance of invitation to one-to-one conversation. To invite someone who is a follower of Jesus into your home, or for a follower of Jesus to invite others into their home. Because Peter turns around to Jesus and says, Jesus, this has been an amazing service. I mean, these are my words, not Peter's. But he says, this is amazing service. We've listened to the most brilliant sermon we've ever heard. And we've seen the power of God in action, as this invincible authority that you carry is demonstrated in such an awesome way. Why don't you come and have dinner? Yeah, it's good to have dinner after Sunday service, especially if it's roast. Didn't have roast today, but hey ho, it was still good. But Jesus goes back to Peter's house. But you see, something happens when Jesus goes back to Peter's house, because when he goes back to Peter's house, he indicates how the individuals are important to him. Because when he goes into the house, Peter turns around and says, oh, by the way, just, I suppose I ought to tell you this, just to let you know, the mother-in-law's unwell. But don't worry about it, it's okay, I've invited you along, and she doesn't know you're coming, and she's pretty sick, and she's got a high temperature, and she's in bed, but it's alright. He didn't quite say all of that, but he did say, I want you to know, Jesus, my mother-in-law's unwell. And Jesus shows the value of the individual, because he didn't say, where's my dinner? He said, where's your mother-in-law? And then he goes to the mother-in-law and he touches her life, and healing flows into her body and she's raised up, and then she begins to serve. See, when your life is transformed by Jesus, the natural response to that is to serve him. When your life is impacted by Jesus, the natural response is, I want to express my love to him by what I can do for him. So when you invite people into your home as a follower of Jesus, you're creating the environment where they can encounter and discover Jesus for themselves. You see, I have no idea whether Peter's mother-in-law had any idea about who Jesus was or what Jesus was doing. We get very little background about her, that she was sick. But she had a personal encounter with Jesus because Peter took the time to ask Jesus to come to his house. And Jesus said, I am interested not only in the crowds in the church, but I'm interested in the individuals in the house. So you need to know that Jesus is interested in your family. Jesus is interested in the people that as yet perhaps have not got to know him, have not yet met with him. Jesus is interested in those individuals that you love, that you see as yet do not really know this relationship with Jesus that you know, and know that he values them to such an extent that he will meet with them in a way that touches their lives and ultimately transforms them. What you need to do is create the opportunity for that to happen. Sometimes simply by being with them and showing them the love of Jesus. Sometimes by coming alongside them and sharing something of your story. Sometimes it's by simply praying and saying, Lord, will you meet with them? Because you value them. But you see, when Jesus comes into a home and his presence is there, it doesn't just touch the individual, but it also touches the community. He not only values the individual, but he also is prepared and willing to impact the community. When the presence of Jesus comes into the house of Peter, not only is Peter's mother-in-law healed and set free and restored, but suddenly the town knows that Jesus is there. And in Mark 1, it tells us that all of the town, all of Capernaum, began to talk about the fact Jesus is in Peter's house. He's gone there for dinner. Let's go and join him. Not for dinner, but to enable those of us who are sick, who are in need, who are looking for answers, who want to experience the power of God. Let's go there, because if Jesus is there, we will experience heaven there. If Jesus is there, we will experience something of the new supernatural outpouring of the kingdom of God there. And so for us as a church, don't just think that the power of God can be demonstrated only in these four walls. Recognize the power of God can rest in your home. And the power of God can be so resident in your home and in your life that the result is that the community sits up and takes notice. I'm aware that many of us right across the church, not only the Estuary Church group, but right across the church world, are saying, Lord, we really want to see revival break out. We want to see transformation come. We want to see our communities experiencing and discovering you. We need to realize that is a supernatural act of God. But when the supernatural power of God is being demonstrated and resident, the communities respond to it. See, Peter didn't go out and begin to say to all his neighbours, I've got Jesus in the house. In fact, every evidence is that they just simply gathered in the house, but very quickly it spread. Very quickly people began to understand that there was something that was available to them that they could engage with and could encounter if they went to Peter's house. I say to you, church, in the new season that is coming, I sense there will be a time when there will be an outpouring of the presence and power of God in such ways the community will sit up and listen. Yeah. And the community will want to be where God is. So the community does not want to be where church is necessarily. Amen. But the community does want the reality of the presence and power of God to be experienced. When God is in his house, we won't need to worry too much about whether we'll get the people to come. When miracles are starting to take place, it will be like wildfire. And we've seen it in other ways, demonstrated in other countries, where God has suddenly come and broken through in a particular church location. It's been for a season, but in that season, when God has been present, it's just been that the community has suddenly not only awakened to it, but so has the world. People have travelled distances to be where the presence is. To be in the place where God is being manifested. Because I can think back to the time, for instance, when the presence of God was being manifested in Toronto. Many of our leaders travelled from this country to America, to where the presence of God was being manifested in such a demonstrative way. And I can't understand it all. I can't fathom it all, in the sense that I believe the presence of God can be manifested in encounters anywhere. But what I do know is that when God, in his divine nature and decision, chooses to manifest himself in a way of such enormity, the people will gather. See, for Moses, his encounter with God wasn't in a public place, but in the back of the wilderness. And God decided to reveal himself to Moses through a burning bush. But when Moses approached the burning bush, the first thing God said to him is, Moses, you need to know you're standing on holy ground. And it was to trigger something in Moses' life that was changing forever. And so the community say, we want to be where God is. And so here we see the impact on the community as Peter watches and as dozens of people come along and Jesus ministers to them all, healing the sick, setting those in bondage free, revealing the reality of the kingdom of God at work. But the final lifelong lesson that Peter had to learn at this point in time, in the early stage of his journey with God, was no matter how much the demonstration of God was, no matter how much authority and power was evident, there was one thing that Jesus counted more important than anything else. And this is, in one sense, a challenge to me. Early in the morning. Why couldn't it say late at night? Early in the morning, whilst it was still dark, Jesus gets up, doesn't wake the rest up, leaves the house, heads out into somewhere quiet, and there he has those intimate, individual moments with his Father. When the house wakes up, the Bible tells us, they say, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Peter says, let's go and search for him. And so they go and send out a search party to discover where Jesus is. And what Peter was to discover was that Jesus recognized that everything that flowed from his life was as a result of his intimacy with his Father. Of being in the Father's presence. Of hearing the Father's heart. Which is why later on he said, these things that I do, I don't do them out of my own ideas or of my own will. I do what I see the Father doing. When he goes to the grave of Lazarus and he's about to bring Lazarus to life, he prays the prayer and he says, Father, you already have prepared for all this. You already have indicated what is going to happen. But Father, I want to just be in tune and allow the people who are gathered here to see and understand, Father, that you have the power of life. And resurrection flows into Lazarus's tomb. Intimacy with the Father is so important. Because out of the intimacy with the Father, that's how inspirational teaching flows. Because you capture a sense of Father's heart. Out of intimacy with the Father, that's where invincible authority is discovered. Because you find yourself knowing that you carry the authority of heaven itself. Out of intimacy with the Father, that's where you have a heart for the individual. For the hurting and for the needy, and you're willing to go out of your way to encounter and engage that one person who needs your prayer, who needs an arm of love around them, who needs a word of encouragement to them. Out of intimacy with the Father, that is where the atmosphere is created for communities to be impacted by the power and sovereignty of God. Intimacy with the Father was absolute paramount as far as Jesus was concerned. And so what happened? Peter says, we found you. Everyone's looking for you. And Jesus says, okay, everyone's looking for me, but I've got other places to go to. I've got other people to speak to. I've got other churches to visit. See, the natural reaction would so easily be for us, wow, we've made it. Revival's come, miracles are happening, everything is great, going really great, the people are wanting us to be here, we can be the centre of it all. And what does Jesus do? He says, no, that visitation has taken place. That community has seen something of the action and the work of God. I need to now go where God is now leading me. And so, church, keep in tune with what God is saying. In this new season, ensure that you have that sense in which there is an openness to the way God is leading. And as and when breakthrough comes in the way that you might have been praying for and longing for, if God says to you, I now want you to go and plant somewhere else where no one is yet really receptive to the gospel, don't get angry and annoyed with God for saying, but I've been slaving away here for the last X number of years, and now we're just seeing breakthrough. What do you decide to do? Move me out and plonk me somewhere else where I've got to start all over again. Because I said to someone before the service, or I said it to Ipswich, I can't remember which, that for me and for Maureen, we trust and we pray that we have been a blessing in the season that God has had us here. What I am aware of, depending on whatever God says and however God leads, if I step out of where God wants us to be and carry on in a place where I might have been a blessing, but God has called me away from that, I no longer will be a blessing. I'll be a blockage. I will no longer create the environment for God to do something awesome. I will be the means that prevents from God being able to break through. So let's learn the lifelong lessons. And let's be people who reveal through our lives, in a very practical way, the life of Jesus. God bless you.